Did you know that a fruit tree has a clone of itself in the form of embryos contained within each piece of fruit? So, when you plant a banana seed, it is a clone of the banana tree. If you plant an apple seed, it is a clone. It will create a genetically identical tree. Now, Jesus Christ is the seed of the kingdom. He is the grain of wheat that fell to the ground and died. Jesus is the word that became flesh. And then when we eat that kingdom fruit of Jesus, when we eat his body, when we drink his blood, Peter calls it an imperishable seed. Jesus says that seed is like a grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. He says it's like yeast that leavens the whole lump of dough. He says that kingdom seed grows to become the biggest tree in the garden. So, you are meant to become just like Jesus because you have taken a clone of the kingdom. In the sense that you've taken the seed of the kingdom. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of the day, not a child of the night, if you are born again of the Spirit, then you have eaten the seed of the kingdom. And that seed is an embryo, an exact copy of Jesus. That's why Paul says Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's why Paul writes to the Galatians that he wants Christ to be formed in them. He says, until Christ is formed in you. So, what's happening right here is that I am proclaiming the kingdom of God. I'm preaching the kingdom that Jesus preached. And I'm operating in my gift of revelation, of knowledge, of discerning of spirits. Sometimes a teaching gift comes upon me as well. So we thank you, Father God, right now. Oh Lord, we thank you right now. So God's intentionality, his purpose, is for all of the earth to become like heaven. Earth is itself a clone of heaven, a copy of heaven. Jesus is telling us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So he's wanting earth to match heaven. Paul is wanting the church to match Jesus. John says, if you know him, then you will be like him. You will walk like Jesus walked. So, what we're seeing here is this great convergence that we're in right now. Where one day the angel will say, the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of our God. One day in the book of Revelation, heaven will descend and become one with the earth. The Bible says the New Jerusalem, that God is going to be with man. God's plan is for you to be just like God. God's plan is for earth to be just like heaven. And one day we will be one. This is the secret message of the kingdom of God that's been freely given to you, proclaimed since Jesus Christ was here. The mystery's been revealed. That the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. That God is not holding man's sins against us. Remember, Abraham was a Gentile. He didn't have the law, he didn't have circumcision. Moses came after Abraham. Abraham was righteous because he believed God. That is where we are with Christianity today. We are the ones who believe God. we are considered right with God, and we are acquitted of all of our sins because of our faith. It is not because we are Jewish and we sacrifice on the altar and we follow the Ten Commandments. No, we believe and then we're made righteous. We are considered forgiven and acquitted and perfect and holy because of our faith alone, simply by believing in Jesus Christ, because there's a transaction that takes place. The transaction that takes place is a life for a life. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. We identify with Jesus' death, and we die. And then his life is lived in us and through us. And Jesus gives us example into this. He explains the kingdom, and he says it's like a man who receives the seed of the kingdom in his heart. And that man, he can bear fruit. He can take the embryo of the kingdom into his heart and become the kingdom. He can become the kingdom. He can walk like Jesus walked. He can live like Jesus lived. He can become just like Jesus. Because then people who eat him, they eat Jesus. People can't meet him without meeting God. People can't see him without seeing God. Because he is the light of the world. He is the city on the hill that cannot be hidden. Because he is the church, the body of Christ. He is the faithful witness. And so you become just like Jesus to the point where you are Jesus on the earth. And this is God's only plan. Now, the alternative is if that seed is sown in your heart and you receive Jesus, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth choke that seed, it makes it unfruitful. What that means is people eat you and they just get you because you haven't cultivated that kingdom seed. You haven't allowed it to bear fruit. I am so excited about the kingdom, I cannot get enough. His kingdom satisfies. What if the kingdom is the only purpose that you have on earth? Mick Jagger, his purpose was the kingdom, but he missed it. Elvis, his purpose was the kingdom, but he missed it. Doesn't matter what you've achieved. Really, the purpose of each man is to be just like Jesus, to receive Jesus, to seek first the kingdom and to pursue it, to expand the kingdom of God. That is why we're here. Now, you might have a calling that's specific to you. I'm not saying that people aren't called to build businesses and to solve problems and create things like penicillin. I'm sure that these people, Michelangelo and Da Vinci and even recent people, have been equipped by God to do his good works. But the ultimate aim and purpose of man is to become just like their father. Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father." He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I see, hear the Father saying. And I'm here to do the work that he gave me. And the works that I do are the works that the Father is doing through me." And I would say to you that if you're a Christian, that your works are the ones that Jesus is doing through you. How do we cultivate that seed? It's so easy. You just do what Jesus said to do. You obey him. You follow him. You become one who implements the kingdom. Because the kingdom, Paul said, it's not talking about meat and drink. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he said the kingdom comes with power. And James says that faith without works is dead. The kingdom is manifest through obeying Jesus Christ. It's manifest by loving your neighbor, by loving others, by serving others, by laying your life down for your friends. Jesus said to teach others to obey him. It's not just enough to go to church and invite people to church and to tell people to go to church and to spend your whole life in church. That's definitely part of being part of the body. But it's more than that. It's more than just being a Christian is just believing once and then attending a church. Being a Christian is being just like Jesus. He is our example, our plumb line. He said, "You clothed me, you fed me, you visited me in prison." These are action words. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom and teach them to obey all that I've commanded." He gave so many parables about people who didn't obey. People who were cut off from the vine. People who were cast out. Who weren't worthy of him because they denied him in this world. Because they didn't do anything with what they were given. I believe we should have a fear and an awe of God and a vigilance and a respect for the limited time that we have down here. What are we doing with what we've got? I always preach the same message about the kingdom. And I always remind people that there is one resource that we've each been given on this earth. It's not time. We've all been given the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. But we've all been given the blood of Jesus Christ. Everyone, every man, woman, and child will be asked what they did. Jesus said, "One day everyone who's dead will hear my voice. Those who hear my voice will be raised to life. But those who don't hear my voice, you know, they're going the other way." But I really believe that you could say that when we stand before God the Father, it doesn't matter if you didn't believe God, if you were an atheist in this life or whatever, you will all be asked by God, "What did you do with my son? I gave you my son. I gave you my son. I gave my son." Now, we're going to be accountable for many things. What did we do with our time? What did we do with our words? What did we do with what he gave us? But the greatest thing that he gave us was Jesus. And the greatest response, the only right response to Jesus is to eat him, to become one with him, to take that free gift of salvation, to take his body, to take his blood. And I believe that we are meant to seek first the kingdom. I believe that Jesus, when he was speaking in Matthew and in the other gospels about asking and knocking and seeking, that he was talking about the context of the kingdom. Because every parable was about the kingdom. And it says that he never spoke other than in parables. And it says that every parable was about the kingdom. In other words, Jesus never spoke about anything except the kingdom, according to the Bible. He explained the kingdom to his disciples in the book of Acts. He explained the law and the prophets and unpacked the whole fulfillment of the Old Testament being promised on the road to Emmaus to those disciples in the book of Acts. So, if Jesus preached the kingdom, if he is the kingdom, if every parable was about the kingdom and every message was about the kingdom, then it's really, really, really important that we know and understand the message of the kingdom. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, which parable? The parable of the sower, they call it in the Bible, the parable of the kingdom. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any other parable? In other words, this parable unlocks all the other parables. In other words, if you don't understand the kingdom, you're not going to understand anything else. It's possible to have a doctrine about that's correct, but not understand the kingdom. You can understand salvation and yet not understand the kingdom. The Jews understood all of the law, all of the prophets, but they did not accept Jesus. They tithed, but they didn't have a heart of giving. Do you understand that Jesus said that woman who gave the two mites, the two pennies, she gave more than everyone else because God is not looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart. This is the kingdom. Jesus said it's an invisible kingdom. It's not visible. It's not in what you look like or what church you go to. It's in your heart. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within reach. I feel like this has been more than enough for you guys today. So I'm just going to bless you. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, I bless you. God, I pray and invite these people to enter into the kingdom today, that they would say yes to Jesus, that they would eat your body and drink your blood, that they would be one with you, that they would allow the seed of the kingdom to be sown into their heart. And for those who've received the seed, that they would allow you to cultivate that seed. Proverbs chapter 4 explains how to live your life in a way that cultivates the kingdom seed. You guard your words. You guard your eyes. You guard your ears. You guard your footsteps. You guard your gates. You determine what you eat. You determine what you focus on. We're not going to be able to blame God. We're not going to be able to blame other people. We are going to be expected by God to have taken what He gave us and to have used it, to implement it. If you're a Christian today, you've already received the keys to the kingdom. You've already received the Holy Spirit. You've already received the Word of God. You've already received the name of Jesus. You've already received the blood of Jesus. Paul doesn't say to ask for the armor of God because you've already received it. If you've already received it, then you don't need to ask for it. If you've already received it, then you have to put it on. You have to put it to work. Paul says, put on the armor of God, which means you've already received it. You've already received every spiritual blessing. You've already received authority. You've already received all of these things. There are things that we can ask for more of. We can ask for more of the Holy Spirit to be filled. We can ask for boldness. We can ask for the gifts of the Spirit and desire greater gifts. We can ask for God, what is it? Lord, wisdom. We can ask for wisdom. We can ask for grace. We can ask for mercy. Okay? But we've already received everything. We've already received everything. Romans, I believe it's actually might even be 1 Corinthians. It says all things are yours, things present and things to come. All things are yours. What it means is we have accountability. We have got to use what we've already been given. You can cultivate the word of the kingdom that's been sown in you by getting around other Christians who are on fire. Don't get around Christians who are lukewarm. They're going to put you to sleep. You've got to get around Christians who are more on fire than you. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to lay hands on you. And if you don't have any, then you be the one who's on fire. You decide to pray in tongues every day. You decide to go out and lay hands on the sick, even if no one's with you. It'd be better to have someone with you. You wake up early and pray in tongues. You tell God, I'm going to fast. Don't wait for God to tell you to fast. Just tell God, I'm going to fast today. You can give money away. You can pray for the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cast out demons. You can pray in tongues. And that's what I decided to do. Number one, I'm going to obey Jesus Christ who commanded us to seek first the kingdom. And I literally started by saying, you know what, God? I'm going to seek first the kingdom. That's what I did for quite a few days. I woke up, I said, God, help me seek first the kingdom. Help me seek first the kingdom. God, what is the kingdom? If I'm seeking it, I need to know what it is. So what is the kingdom? And then he began to introduce me to teachers and preachers who specialized in the kingdom message. And eventually I actually got to the point where I said, God, I have exhausted, you know, the resources that you've given me. I feel like I cannot find another teacher who can expand on my understanding of the kingdom. And then he led me to Kevin Zadi, who does not necessarily describe his message as the kingdom. However, having been to heaven, having encountered Jesus, like Paul, he has an incredible understanding of the kingdom that I have been able to glean from his thousands of hours of teaching. And that's the thing I've been doing. You know, if you do anything for 10,000 hours, you become an expert. If you do anything for 10,000 hours, you become one of the 1% in the world who can do it, okay? If you make coffee for 10,000 hours, you're going to be very, very good at making coffee, because that's so much time that that's inevitable that you will overcome your mistakes. It's inevitable that you will overcome your blind spots. If you do something for 10,000 hours, that's more than enough time to correct your weaknesses and to build on your weaknesses and to build your strengths. And I'm telling you, I've been seeking the kingdom for more than 10,000 hours, okay? I've been praying in the Spirit. I've been reading the Bible. I've been asking Jesus, studying books about the kingdom for more than 10,000 hours. And this is what I've realized. I've realized that God is the vine and I am the branch, that I have nothing in me, that I have to draw from Jesus every single day, that I don't have anything to give that he's not giving, that I don't have anything to say that he's not saying, that anything that I do that has any benefit is him doing it through me. So I have nothing and I am nothing and I have no power. He has the power. I'm weak. He's strong. My spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. In other words, it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon me that I prophesy. It's when the Holy Spirit moves me that I want to lay hands on the sick or see them recover. I don't necessarily wait for God to move, but I know that if it's not him, then I might as well not do it. It's a very narrow road, but it's the best road. It's the most luscious, flourishing road. I realize that I'm not looking for a ministry. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking for a platform. God is just looking for me. I'm enough because I'm the ministry. I'm the platform. I'm the pulpit. I'm the church. I'm the business. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You might be retired. You might be old. You might be bedridden. But you can still be you. You're still you, and God's saying you are enough. His kingdom in you is more than enough. God was able to use Paul in prison. He was able to use Paul in jail. He was able to use Paul in abundance, and he was able to use Paul in lack. And God can use you right now, whoever you are. You don't have to look for a ministry or a pulpit or a podcast or whatever. You just do what God is doing. Now, there are going to be some things that God makes you do, you know, that you don't understand and you don't want to do. I stayed in a job for a long, 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 long time, you know, gritting my teeth. And then he started to say to me, John, you're not going to have a job. You're not going to have a job. You're not going to have a job. So I told my trusted friends and prayer partners, God told me I'm not going to have a job. Now, I didn't know that I was going to go through that experience that we all had to go through in 2020. Okay? But you understand that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That it's your faith is tried in the fire. So what I'm saying is it doesn't matter if you're going through a difficult period. Even better, rejoice. The better, the more difficult period, the better, because what happens is your kingdom seed is exposed in trials. The kingdom seed that is in you is manifest, because what you're made of will be seen. When you're under pressure, who you really are comes out. So don't look to control your circumstances. Don't worry about things not working out, because no matter what happens, you have God, and no matter what happens, you have the kingdom, and the kingdom inside of you is all you need. Literally, the kingdom is all you need. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Now, he might bless you with a wife and a car. He might best bless you with a husband and a house. He might bless you with a business. But remember, every blessing is another responsibility that you will be held accountable for. If you have a wife, you're accountable for your wife. If you have kids, you're accountable for your kids. So what you don't have, you should celebrate. If you're just a single person without a job, or even better, if you're homeless, I know that sounds crazy, but God is going to hold you accountable for what he has given you. Now, rejoice if you have an amazing job. Don't quit your job. Like Paul said, if you're married, stay married. If you were circumcised when you got born again, don't get uncircumcised. If you were single when you were born again, don't get married. But if you are married when you're born again, stay married. So he said, if you're a slave when you were saved, then you're God's free man. But if you were a free man when you were saved, then you're God's slave. So what he's saying is, it doesn't matter. If you're rich, be rich. Give your money away. If you're poor, be poor. Now, you might have a desire to be rich, but James says that's a dangerous place to be. But maybe God's going to give you a business idea. That's fantastic. But just remember, that is going to be in the context of the kingdom. It's not going to be for you to be famous and to forget about God. It's going to be for God to use you. So just what I'm saying is, be available to anything God wants to do. But don't worry about any circumstance, because when you seek first the kingdom, you will realize that that is the pearl of great price. That is the only thing that you need. And you're not going to even want anything else. So let me pray for you again. Father, I just want to thank you for these people who are listening, that they've received the kingdom. I don't care if they think I'm crazy, because I've found you, Lord, and I'm happy to be a fool for Christ. Oh, Lord, oh my God, would this kingdom message, Lord, be preached to the ends of the earth? Because then you will come, Lord Jesus. You're not going to come when Israel does this and Iran does that. Lord, you're going to come back when we actually finish the work that you gave us, which is not just to preach the religion of the Christianity, God, but it's to preach the kingdom. So, Father God, would we just get our act together today? Would you slap us around a little bit, discipline us, rebuke us, correct us, Lord, so that we would be a beautiful bride without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. Let burn us with the fire of the Holy Spirit that can get the wrinkles out. Like a hot iron, Lord God, getting the wrinkles out of our clothing, would you burn us with your fire until we become just like Jesus Christ? Lord, I want to see your church walking in full stature as Christ on the earth. I want to see your church stand up and dressed and mature in Jesus' name. And I pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven today. Thank you, Father. This is enough, guys. Maybe you might not feel like there's any sort of punchline to this message, but you will burn with the Spirit of God today because you've heard me. And there has been a fire that's been transferred, a holy fire from the altar of God, from the throne room of God. I think most of us avoid the fire. Most of us want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but do we really want to be baptized with fire? Because the fire will burn off everything that's not of him. And I want that place. I want that fire. I don't know. There's something about me. I want to be shocked. I want to be stunned by God. I want to be stimulated by God. I want an encounter by God. I want him to show me where I lack. I want him to slap me in the face. I want him to humble me, whatever he needs to do. I want to be in the secret place. I want to be in the hidden place. I want to be the deepest place in God. I want to be so far under the shelter of his wings that I cannot find my way out. I want to be hidden in Christ so that I'm invisible. I praise you, Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I just leave you with this encouragement that the little things that you do are more impactful than you realize. God knows what it's like down here. He knows the demonic. He knows people. He knows the ways of this world, that it's slow and that it slows us down, because he's the one who cursed it. He cursed the earth, that it would be difficult for us to find food. He understands that everything here is a labor, and women in birth is painful. He understands that when we pray that there sometimes seems to be a delay. But don't stop praying, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to Peter to keep praying just one more hour. Be encouraged that every little thing you do is enough. To just raise your hands, even in your own private room at home with no one around. If you lift up your hands to God, if you set your eyes on things above, if you think about beautiful things, if you speak a word in season, if you write a book, if you lay hands on the sick, if you send someone an encouraging message, if you get to give a dollar, everything you do will echo for eternity. Don't despise the little things that you do. Don't only look for the giant things. God can do what you cannot do when you do what little you can do. Just do what little you can do today and God will do the rest. Let's catch fire today. Let's be on the altar today. Let's chain ourselves to the altar. Find that fierce violence that takes the kingdom by force. What does it look like to be violent? It looks like Mary breaking the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet and then rubbing it in with her hair. Do you understand? It looks like Peter jumping out of the boat and swimming to shore when he sees Jesus. Okay, it looks like going out into the wilderness and eating locusts and wild honey for John the Baptist. You know, it looks like staying in a job that's really hard where you have to grit your teeth because God says, do not quit. Okay? Thank you, Father, right now. Yeah, there you go. There you go. There's peace now. There's peace. Thank you, Lord. Amazing. Beautiful. I'm just going to play a little tiny snippet from a song and I'll put the link in the show notes. Bye for now.